Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hello, welcome to today's program. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you here over the noon hour. Ted Ross at the controls. And, Ted, we're gonna talk about getting in shape today. So I always like to say I'm in shape because Round's a shape.
Yeah,
so
that's right. Yeah, I can relate.
Sure.
I resemble that remark,
sure,
sadly.
I know. Oh, man. Now, we're going to talk. It's not just getting in shape, but we're going to talk about wellness, that whole in fact, there's a number of areas. We're going to talk about what wellness is and what it looks like, you know, physically, mentally, socially, financially, spiritually, emotionally, all those aspects we're going to get into, which are pretty valuable. And I think today's discussion will be very practical and helpful for you. That's our goal, is that we can apply biblical principles to daily life and connect faith to life. That's what we do here in Faith Radio. The book we're going to reference has an interesting subtitle as well. The book is called Wellness for the Glory of God, Living Well After 40 with Joy and Contentment in All of Life. So it's not just about wellness and fitness. There are lots of books and tapes, and I've got a stack of them at home. That I, you know,
they just sit there, right?
Sure. I guess if I actually lifted them a couple times a day, I might tone my muscles a little bit. But no, we're going to talk about wellness for the glory of God, and that's an important distinction, and looking forward to getting to know our guest today. Dr. John Dunlap serves as an adjunct professor at Trinity International University, and he practices geriatrics in New Haven, Connecticut, where he's enjoying a sunny day and about 9 inches of snow.
Yeah, so, fresh snow.
Yeah, and we welcome him to it, actually, is what I'm thinking. So he's affiliated with the Yale School of Medicine. He's authored several books, including Finishing Well to the Glory of God, Strategies from a Christian Physician, and Wellness for the Glory of God, Living Well After 40 with Joy and Contentment in All Life. It's from Crossway. We've got a couple of copies we're going to give away today as well. So if you'd like to have this wonderful little resource, and even more, if you'd love to ask the doctor a question, you're welcome to give us a call. In fact, we'll open up the phone lines right away. So if there's something that, doctor, it hurts when I do this, you can, well, don't do this.
Stop doing that.
Yes, sure. Dr. Dunlap, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you.
We'll get serious now here, so we don't all have to do our doctor jokes. I'm sure you've heard a few of them. We'll maybe review a few as we go along. By the way, our phone number is 877-93-FAITH if you have a question you'd like to join in today. So let's start with maybe a little bit about your background, because you've been a physician as well as teaching in health in the classroom for years. I'm interested, maybe from your perspective, you know, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen maybe over the course of your professional life?
Well, yeah, I've been in medicine for what I call myself a 46-year medical student.
Okay.
I've been in practice for 38 years, and there certainly have been changes. I think the things that I enjoy the most are being able to have much better pharmaceuticals. The drug industry has made huge improvements, and we have a lot more very effective and less toxic medications. And then the other, I'm not a surgeon, but I'm so impressed with all this non-invasive surgery that's being done these days that just really allows the surgeons to get in and get out and not do a lot of damage to other things in the meantime. It's just fun to watch these improvements.
Mm. There is no doubt that we have much to be thankful for, and we're going to talk today about wellness. I mean, there's so much interest, it seems like, in this whole area of maybe at least the fitness anyway, and healthy eating and all those things, at least a lot of marketing in that way. But what do we often miss in this area?
I do think that it's a tie whether exercise is more important or diet is more important, but the two of them together are sure critical, and much more the key to health maintenance. Prevention of disease is still much wiser than treating disease.
In fact, we had our guest yesterday was talking about that. We talked a little bit about heading into retirement, and she was making the comments, you know, if you can do things now to protect your health, that's going to be so important as you get into retirement, because healthcare is very expensive. And obviously, we're in the midst of a pretty heated political battle about that over the last few years. But there is a great deal of expense to this, isn't there?
Well, there sure is. It all gets more and more expensive, but prevention is usually cheap.
Well, that reminds me, I guess, as you talk a little bit about some of the areas that you talk about in the book, looking at some six areas of life that contribute to a holistic vision of health. I mean, several of them are not particularly physical. And I imagine as a doctor over, 30-plus years, you probably spend maybe more time on some of those emotional or maybe even financial side of things than you do with the actual physical body.
Yeah, I'm not sure I always help the financial,
okay.
Given the cost of medicine. But you're right. I look at wellness from the point of view of someone who's up in years, and I've seen a number of people feel well, even when many of the areas of wellness begin to deteriorate. And it seems to me that the key is to have a few areas in our lives that are going well that we can emphasize, and then that helps us to put up with the areas of life that aren't going so well. Because a lot of things as we get older are going to deteriorate. But if we can keep our values in a couple areas, we can continue to feel well.
How would you define wellness? And then maybe as a follow-up, then talk about how it's defined wellness for the glory of God. That's an important phrase, conditional phrase there.
Yeah. Well, Mike, my definition is a little bit complicated, but I define wellness as that blessed state of experiencing all spheres of life functioning in harmony with God's ordained purpose. We want to have every year of our life in harmony with what God wants for us. And the challenge is God doesn't always want everything just to be perfect. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. And sometimes that happens through challenges and difficulties. But if we can do that, and if we can have a unifying purpose that ties it all together, it works so much better. And I think that unifying principle is living to the glory of God.
And what does that look like? I guess from a wellness standpoint, that we all say we want to. Paul talks about whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But we sometimes think that's more about, I guess, just our doing. But this is more than just doing, isn't it?
It is, and. It's having that commitment in our hearts that doing things that will honor God is the most important thing. So, for example, I don't feel good when I go out for a 10-mile run, but I think I'm keeping myself healthy, I think I'm keeping myself strong, and I think as a result, God can be more honored in my life. So I do it. I may not help my bank account by being generous with giving money away, but I can honor God and glorify God through that generosity, and so I do it, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. We're talking wellness for the glory of God. That's the title of the new book from Dr. John Dunlap, and Dr. John is with us today on Connecting Faith. We'd love to have you join the conversation. We've got a couple of copies of the book to give away as well. The subtitle is Living Well After 40 with Joy and Contentment in All of Life. Those are a couple of key areas that we don't always attain, so we'll learn more about how we can do that in the moments ahead. We'd love to take your question for our doctor today. You can call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Or if it's more convenient, you want to just drop us a note, you can do that by going to myfaithradio.com and then clicking on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there which will get you right into the studio here. And we'll take your questions, your comments coming up in just a moment. Dr. John Dunlap is a practice of geriatrics in New Haven, Connecticut. And he's authored this great book called Wellness for the Glory of God. And we'll deal with some of those areas, including obviously the physical side, but also talk mental, social, financial, spiritual, and emotional. We'll get to all that coming up here in the moments ahead on Connecting Faith. Life to the full, what does that mean? To the glory of God, that's our topic today. We're talking wellness for the glory of God with Dr. John Dunlap, who practices geriatrics in New Haven, Connecticut. He served as an adjunct professor at Trinity International University for a number of years as well. He got about 40 years in the medical field and has written about wellness for the glory of God, living well after 40 with joy and contentment in all of life. Our guest today, our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you have some questions. We'll talk medicine and more today. John, you suggest that staying well requires planning. Maybe explain a little bit about what that entails. We probably take our health and well-being for granted many times.
You know, it really does, because the default of our culture is not going to help us stay well. So I think we really need to take a good inventory of where we are in each one of these areas, the physical, the mental, the social, financial, emotional, spiritual. And actually, in the book, I've tried to include a couple of pages where people can write very specific changes they need to make now so that when they get to be an old person, the probability of them still feeling well is higher. We can't guarantee things. That's in God's hands, but we can do our part to increase that probability.
You know, as you mentioned, those six priorities or six areas, is there one that maybe most affects the others, and so should get higher priority?
Neil, I've taken care probably about 70% of my patients over the years were believers, and I've learned a lot just from wonderful patients. That when we invest in the spiritual.
All right. I think we had a little phone drop there, maybe.
Let's see if we can get him back here just
a
moment.
All right. Let's try. We'll do a reconnect here with Dr. John. Dr. John Dunlap, we're talking wellness for the glory of God. And we just have a little phone disconnect there in New Haven, Connecticut. No power's out in a few places there.
Yeah, so we'll right. See, but, I did see the power company actually was intentionally disconnecting some lines before the storm out there. So maybe there's some issue with the grid. Let's see.
All right, see if we're on here. So.
Let's try one more time.
Hey, John, how are you doing? Sorry we got cut off there for a moment. No.
We may have to redial still him up
all right,
here.
Well, there you are. Hey, John, thanks. Sorry, we got misconnected there. You're just saying about, you know, focusing on the spiritual. Talk a bit more about that.
Yeah. I'm not sure what we lost, but Paul says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. I mean, that's spiritual growth. That's what keeps us going as we get older. That's what we have to plan for.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, your book focuses on people in the second half of life. I mean, do we approach wellness in a different manner than someone, say, under 40, if we're old like me, or those that I know?
Essentially, no, but we do have different priorities, and particularly as we finish our working days and we often have a little more time, we can emphasize things at that point that maybe we had to minimize during our working years.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the maybe specific things. There was a report out not too long ago that suggested that sitting is the new smoking. It seems like there's maybe a health scare, quote unquote, every week. There's some new report out all the time. So how do we maybe, I guess, understand or assimilate that into our lives?
Yeah, I wish I could go on to the other room in our apartment here, because My wife is there, who is a professor at Northwestern Medical School, although she works here from New Haven. And all of her research is basically geared toward exactly that, the advantages of physical exercise as we're getting older. So actually, Neil, she was on a radio program last spring in Chicago talking about her research, and the fellow who was interviewing her, she told him, she said, you know, we need to stand for this interview. And he said, no way, you're taller than I am.
Okay. Okay.
So you and I need to stand up.
Okay. Well, I could, I can stand up for a while here. We'll see how that goes. I may sit down at any point, I guess. But I did. We'll jump in with some of our listener questions as well. And by the way, if you'd like to join in the conversation, we're talking wellness for the glory of God. Dr. John Dunlap is my guest today, and it's a new book from Crossway. We've got a couple of copies we'll give away. You can sign up for that and ask a question as well. 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. So Gladys called in. She's listening in Duluth. Was wondering if strength lost through diet can be regained. I know you talked a little bit about, I mean, there is a, we do lose some muscle mass as we get older, don't we?
Hi, Gladys. Yeah, you know, as we lose weight, we're hopefully taking off fat, and that will happen. But if we're not exercising at the same time as we're dieting, we're losing muscle mass as well. Now, if we've lost muscle mass, we can rebuild it, but we need to do it with judicious eating and just working out with more exercise. Because if we don't, just the aging process, we lose muscle mass over the years as well.
And probably had heard it, but I was a little surprised. It is a fair amount, right, once you get over 60 or so?
Yeah. You know, we reach our peak muscle mass at about 30. And once we get into our 60s, we start losing 1% of our muscle mass a year. In our 70s, it's 2%. In our 80s, it's 4%. In our 90s, it's 80%. It doesn't take much math to figure out you're not going to have much left at 100 unless you do something about it.
So does that mean, eating more protein? I mean, that's what all the bodybuilders are doing, right?
Eating protein is a small part of it, but basically doing exercise, and exercise I think needs to include four things. For building muscle, it's mostly, you know, picking up some weights, throwing around some weights, some aerobic exercise, and in addition, we need to do some stretching and something to help build our balance, but they won't necessarily be building the muscle mass.
So,
I have to remember the dear lady who I suggested she start walking with some dumbbells, because that would help her build her muscle mass and actually help her bone structure too. And she told me, she said, well, I walk with my husband. Is that enough?
Yes. You know, wake up grumpy in the morning, though I let him sleep in. Huh? So, all right, we've moved into a whole new area here on the show. All right, well, that's I guess that apparently doesn't work. That's what you're saying. So
you need more than that kind of dumbbell.
Well, you know, let's talk about that, because one of the questions I had written down was that, you know, when we maybe if we haven't done a lot of exercise for a while, then we kind of get back into it, and oftentimes we get injured, or maybe as we get older, we're getting some chronic pain. So that seems like it kind of limits our maybe even interest in pursuing fitness, and it certainly doesn't make it more comfortable.
You know, it's worthwhile to just go low, go slow, build it up gradually. It may be helpful to get help from a professional trainer, get their input. But the key is that you start reversing the trend of doing nothing and start doing something.
Are we going to see results in a short time? Or, I mean, if we're doing the go low, go slow approach, I mean, isn't that kind of one of the challenges that we maybe lose our motivation and incentive? It's already the end of the month. We probably dropped out of the gym by now anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be slow, and you need to be patient. You're not going to get the immediate confirmation that you're doing the right thing, but it's going to come. And it's going to come, and if you do go too fast and start doing more than you should, you're going to mess things up and you're going to not make any progress at all. So it's worth doing it slow.
Mm. You know, there's always maybe the issue of expense. You know, you can spend a lot on all the, you know, the fitness tapes or going to the gym or supplements and all those things. So what do you recommend maybe some ways that we can naturally be more focused on health?
Well, I think walking is wonderful. And you know, I love to run. And I get by with running. I'm 67, but I'm still able to run pretty long distances. But it's because I've been doing it for many years. I do not recommend people, once they get over 50, usually to start running because they often mess up their knees. But they can walk. And if they start running and mess up their knees, then they can't walk. So walking is just as good. And, you know, I seriously, but half jokingly, tell people that I can walk 3 miles faster than I can run 3 miles. And they look at me quizzingly. And I say, yeah, because if I run 3 miles, I have to go change and put on my running duds. I have to warm up. I do my run. I have to cool down. I have to shower. I have to change. And by the time I've done all that, I could have walked 3 miles in less time. But walking is good and probably the best thing you can do.
It's
cheap.
Yeah, well, you talked about exercise and some aerobic, some stretching and balance. Maybe just say a word about stretching, too, because that's a pretty valuable thing.
It is. It is. It just helps tone the muscles. So after you've done, you know, a bit of a workout, I believe in stretching after exercise when your muscles are warmed up. I always spend about 10 minutes after a run just doing stretching, mostly of my legs, some of my arms. And it just helps the muscles keep their tone.
And balance as well, what does that look like for you?
For me, what I have is a little inflated 4-inch thick, about 12-inch diameter disc that you just stand on for a minute on each leg. I tend to do it after I get out of the shower. And, boy, it really does help the balance. Another thing that's great for balance, if you have time and opportunity to do it, is something like Tai Chi, the Asian exercise. That is a great thing to improve your balance. And balance helps prevent falls, and falls prevents broken hips, and it's pretty important as you get older.
We're talking today with Dr. John Dunlap. Dr. John has served as an adjunct professor at Trinity International University for a number of years. He's been practicing medicine now in year 40 or so, and he's practicing geriatrics in New Haven, Connecticut at the moment, where he's affiliated with the Yale School of Medicine. And he's authored this new book called Wellness for the Glory of God, Living Well After 40 with Joy and Contentment in All of Life. He's also written Finishing Well to the Glory of God, Strategies from a Christian Physician. We're going to hear more from Dr. Dunlap here in just a moment, and would welcome you to join the conversation. We've got a couple of copies of the book we'll give away at 877-933-2484. We always do a drawing at the end of the hour. Just pull out a couple of names from those who call, and love to have you ask a question, too, of our doctor. We're going to focus, maybe move on to some of those other areas. We've talked about, you know, physical wellness, but we want to talk about mental and social and spiritual and emotional wellness as well, and we'll get to all those questions in a moment. We'll get his perspective maybe on some supplements. We'll talk a little bit about depression and emotional health, all those things coming up here in a moment. Again, our phone number is 877-933-2484. If you want to drop us a note, just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there, and we'll talk more in just a moment here with Dr. John Dunlap. There we go.
I feel good.
Feeling good? Well, you know, it can happen. In fact, many people do, in spite of maybe a few physical ailments or setbacks. And that's the premise of our conversation today with Dr. John Dunlap. He's talking about his new book called Wellness for the Glory of God. It's Living Well After 40 with Joy and Contentment in All Areas of Life. And talked about, you know, his definition is that we're living in harmony with God's ordained purposes, and we're going to get more into that in a moment. I do want to follow up, though, with a question that I'm sure you probably get lots of times, especially when we're doing radio interviews. It's, you know, your perspective on supplements, whether they're, you know, natural or herbal or whatever it might be, I mean, particularly as people get older. What do they need for the right kind of diet?
You know, diet is very important. I think the best diet is a good, well-balanced diet that includes the fruits and lots of fruits and lots of veggies, enough carbohydrates and starches, you know, kind of a modest amount of meats and proteins, more fish and chicken than the red meats. And honestly, I am very convinced if you eat a good, well-balanced diet, you don't need too many supplements. The one that I do take myself, though I realize there's even some controversy about the wisdom of that, is I take some vitamin D during the winter months. I start around the 1st of November, go to the 1st of May, and I take about 5,000 units a week, which to me seems like a reasonable approach. But a lot of the other supplements, when you look at them in a scientific sense, they really don't seem to be doing what people think they're doing. And honestly, there's some of them have been proven to be pretty harmful. Mm. So you need to be careful.
You know, you mentioned vitamin D. Obviously, you know, you lived in Chicago area for a number of years, and we're in the upper Midwest where it gets kind of dark and cold for a while. You address the emotional wellness aspect as well, and, you know, feeling well and depression is a real issue. What are your thoughts or encouragement about, you know, just having emotional wellness, especially in the wintertime?
Yeah, you know, we do respond to sunlight and bright lights, and there is this this seasonal affective disorder that can get a lot of people down in the winter. And I think there's been some research showing that certain type of light exposures can help that. There's probably no relationship of vitamin D, although that's been questioned and looked at. A lot of people try to take a break in the South during the winter. We've never been into that ourselves. So I think there is a real issue there, because as we get depressed, it's my pretty firm conviction that if we can do something to help the depression other than just taking antidepressant medications to kind of cover over the depression, we're so much better off. Try to get to the root of the problem.
You know, one of the areas that you address, you spend a lot of time in, is the area of social wellness. And I was thinking, you know, we tend to become pretty isolated in today's society. So how do we break out and maybe connect up and really see some changes take place there?
Yeah. You know, in Genesis 1, it says it's not good for man to be alone. We always interpret that in terms of marriage, but it doesn't necessarily say that. It says we're not designed to be alone. We're social people. So we do need to have very intentional times with people. We need superficial relationships where we know people's names and get to say, hi, how are you? But we really need deep relationships with other people. I mean, we've just moved here, so I haven't been able to do it yet. But I'm on the out looking for about four men that I can get together once a week and just get to know them well and kind of do life together, challenge each other and build each other up. So we need that kind of relationship too.
You know, maybe just say a word about that, because you're as you relocated, that's not uncommon for someone who's at retirement age. I mean, maybe, you know, going south and, you know, or maybe finding a family member that they're by. But how do we build the relationship maybe beyond this family, or if we're in a new location? It's kind of hard sometimes to break into some of the old cliques, perhaps.
Yeah, you know, I think as Christians we have a wonderful advantage because we have the body of Christ to bridge us into groups. I know we moved to New Haven in September, and by the middle of October we had joined a small group from church, and boy, those are our best friends at this point. We just look forward to Wednesday nights when we can get together with that group and study the Word and pray together and share our needs and our hearts, it is just such a blessing.
One of the key chapters in your book is on spiritual wellness. Let's say a word about that, because finishing well is something that we all want to pursue, but it doesn't always happen for many. I mean, I think you make the comment about the hardest part of the race is toward the finish line. I think it doesn't mean it's going to get any easier necessarily as we get older.
Right, and spiritual wellness. First of all, I've seen a lot of believers go through the end of life, and I have seen so much growth in their spiritual lives as the end of life comes that I think we need to recognize these are, could be very, very rich years, and we really need to take advantage of them.
So what do you recommend for us to kind of to keep growing so that spiritual aspect of our life is still vital and important, even maybe when we have physical limitations?
Yeah. As life slows down, we can begin to emphasize different things. I mean, I am blessed that I have, over years, I've always worked 50 to 60 hours a week, and now I work 25 hours a week. And I used to be at the hospital at 6:30 every morning, and now I start work at 8:30. And I got 2 hours in the morning to just get into the Word. I've probably read four times as many books in the last 6 months as I've read in the last 6 years. And just feeling stretched right now. I'm kind of very carefully working through the book of Mark and just enjoying that time immensely. And then just taking time to pray and to just have some quiet time to just savor God. Those are rich opportunities which we can take advantage of when life begins to slow down a little bit. Because we want to keep growing, we want to keep serving.
I'm sure you know as a physician that when you have a diagnosis, things are often interconnected. So maybe if someone's having a difficult emotional or relational life, or maybe, financial or other things, that it can affect the spiritual life as well as our physical life. I mean, just talk about how we need to really keep that integration focused on the Lord and allow Him to be the center.
Yeah, yeah. It can be a vicious cycle in that the more other parts of life begin to deteriorate, the more it can pull us away from our love for the Lord. But it can be just the opposite too. And that is, as we are really, truly enjoying God, and we're growing, and we're learning, and we're spending time with Him, then that can totally change our perspective to some of the other problem areas of life that we're experiencing. So that's where we just need to keep that emphasis on the spiritual and just love God more.
And as you talk about, keep serving too, right? Don't give up the opportunities to be doing something for someone else.
Yeah, yeah. I remember 40 years ago when I was in my 20s, that's the era where you probably grew up around the same time. That's the era when the word generation gap was coined. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't see people in their 20s going to people in their 60s and saying, what do you think? Could you give me some advice? And yet in today's world, we were at church a couple months ago, and a couple came up to us and said, we're looking for some people with some gray hair because we want to talk about some things. And that was just so much fun.
Okay.
It's worth having gray hair.
Yes, well, I'm glad that, glad that you still have your hair. I think that's a good step, too. So I don't know if you have any tips for that. That's probably a whole nother show, though, isn't it?
Maybe. Yeah.
All right. Talking today with Dr. John Dunlap, we're talking about wellness for the glory of God. It's living well after 40, with joy and contentment in all areas of life, and invited your calls. If you have some questions, talk about Kathy's in Hutchinson, and just wants to know a little bit about, she left a question for us here, the connection between oxidization, antioxidants, inflammation, and health. And so she's just, I think, wondering about, she has some leg pain, and just wondering a little bit about that.
Kathy, that's an area of research. It's an area that I think is intriguing. I think some of the theories are probably good on that. There does seem to be some biochemical damage done to cells by too much oxidation, and antioxidants probably do help that some. I'm told that blueberries are one of the highest sources of antioxidants. It just happens that I absolutely love blueberries, and anytime I can get them, I try to buy them. And there's other fruits and veggies that are strong in those. But there's, when you get into some of the supplements, one of the ones that was advertised as an antioxidant was beta-carotene. And beta-carotene has been studied pretty carefully, and if you just take it by itself, it seems to cause some damage. If you take it in carrots, where the good Lord put all the other things that allow us to use beta-carotene in an effective way, it seems to help. So once again, I think if we can get our antioxidants through good fruits and veggies, that's the way to go.
Yeah, and if we can, you know, and one of the joys, of course, is that with the global markets now, it seems like we can get blueberries fresh from somewhere around the world most any time.
Yeah, I just bought a pike for $1.50.
Okay.
don't know where it came from, but that was a great deal.
We can we get shopping tips during the next segment here with Dr. John Dunlap. We're talking wellness for the glory of God. Dr. John Dunlap is he's practicing geriatrics in New Haven, Connecticut, and he's also an adjunct professor at Trinity International University and written this new book from Crossway. We got some copies to give away. We'll do a drawing for a couple of those here at the end of the hour. And if you have a question you'd like to pass on to the doctor, you're welcome to join us. It's 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Stay tuned.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive.
That's a good word, isn't it? And that's what we're talking about today. How do we live well after 40 with joy and contentment in all of life? That's the subtitle of Dr. John Dunlap's book called Wellness for the Glory of God. It's from Crossway. Dr. Dunlap is practicing geriatrics, New Haven, Connecticut. He's had about 40 years worth of practice, and he's still working at it, working on perfection, I guess. John, one of the things I appreciated about your book was that at the end of each chapter you have a prayer, and I'm wondering if that's something that you had opportunity to do with your patients over the years, to talk a little bit about your interaction with the patients, because when I asked, it was one of our callers had the question. She says, let me get to it here. She is wondering about what to do as a Christian when doctors don't seem to listen to you. Her name is Elizabeth. She was asking about that. So talk about your relationship with your patients, and if it doesn't seem like there's a connection, what do we do?
Yeah, Elizabeth, that's an important question, because you need a doctor you really can communicate with well. And in that situation, when you feel that there's a break in good communication, I think it's reasonable to just sit down and say, look, I'm just not sure we're communicating well. Is there something that we can do to improve that? And if you don't get a good response, then it's time to go find someone else. I was in the blessed situation of being in a small community for 38 years, and just knew my patients well, and would have seen them over many years, and that was such a wonderful experience. Many of them believers, and over the years I was able to pray with a number of them, and it was just a wonderful relationship. But, you know, in the last 6 months in practice, I scheduled farewell visits with as many of my patients as I could. I ended up seeing about 750 just for goodbye visits, and those were rich times. And I decided at the start that I was going to ask every patient, whether they were believers or not, if I could just pray for them and commit them to God's care. And every one of them was happy for me to do that. And, you know, the Christians appreciated my praying for them. But what I was impressed with was those who really didn't follow the Lord, who didn't really have a Christian faith, they were kind of blown over by it. Mm. They were in tears and just said, oh, no one's ever prayed for me like that before. And it was such a blessing to just be able to commit them to the Lord.
Mm. Now, to have that relationship with a doctor, that is, that's truly a rich aspect, isn't it?
It was. I mean, it was something I totally enjoyed.
Here's a question. A listener says, her husband works in a factory on a line. Does he need other exercise when he's already does physical labor on his job? That's from Jane.
You know, he probably needs some. He probably gets a fair amount of aerobic, but he may not get his heart rate up to really the 75% maximum rate that he should be shooting for. He probably is getting a fair amount of muscle building. He doesn't need to do the weights. He may need to still work on balance and stretching. And you know, exercise itself can be good for body building, but it's also good just for relaxation, for pulling away, doing other things. And if your work exercise is what I call up-tightening, you may need to do something just for relaxation. Just still go out for a walk at night and just have a relaxed time. That's an important part of exercise as well.
Well, here's sort of a related question from Linda, and she's wrote in and says that my husband's the type of man who believes exercise is just doing physical work, and he enjoys that the most. And says, I'd like us to begin walking together after meals, but a back injury several years ago has affected maybe it's him, I think. But so, you know, we're trying to eat right and do some things, but what do you suggest that we do together to begin this sort of pre-empty, or they're in their empty nest stage? Talk about the importance of maybe exercise or fitness together.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is a great opportunity. Admittedly, Dorothy and I, my wife, enjoy going for walks together, but we basically, she's walking and I'm running. In fact, she just walked out the door as we were on that last commercial break. So she's going she'll probably walk for 3 or 4 miles. Doing things together, I think, can be really helpful if your needs are similar. But sometimes he needs something totally different than she needs or enjoys. So you want to balance those things out. Swimming is a great thing if you have a bad back. Swimming is probably the best all-round exercise and can help. Of course, something you can do together if you have access to a pool.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that sort of caught my attention, I was reading the book you talked about, you know, we really are naturally lazy. And so we don't, you know, we have pretty high resistance from just sort of getting going on whether it's, you know, a better diet or better finances or, you know, even better spiritual life. I mean, do you have some recommendations for us to maybe get started and to keep going here at the end of January?
It can be tough. It can be tough. I mean, I'm so addicted to my running that I'm probably going to run to the grave. Until you get that kind of addiction, you just have to keep plugging away at it. But I think most of us don't need help knowing what to do. We just need help motivating ourselves to do it. And I personally, as a Christian, I think the most important thing for us to realize is that our bodies are not our own. Our bodies belong to the Lord, and we need to take care of them as unto Him. And when we're just couch potatoes and we're just gaining weight and eating lousy food, we're just not taking very good care of the temple where He is to be worshipped.
Mm. John, a listener, it's this Carol, called in, and her question was how to deal with rheumatoid arthritis. You have some recommendations?
Oh, rheumatoid disease is such a complex disease, but it's basically a disease of the immune system, and I don't know anything that other than some of the current medications which really have a significant difference in help for rheumatoid disease. So I think if it's rheumatoid, exercise and all these things is not fundamentally going to affect the underlying disease, and you get to your doctor and get on good medications, the benefits that will allow you to keep active and exercise are far more than any side effects of the drugs. And the new ones are super expensive. Most insurances will pay, and they can be extremely effective with not too much toxicity.
Yeah, as you said earlier, that there's really truly some amazing advances, not only in medicines, but in the surgeries as well, right? We can certainly be a lot healthier than we had the option to maybe 40 years ago.
Yeah, and I think it's important to realize that these medical advances are God's gift to our culture. I mean, God is the one that heals everything. And whether he does it through medications or whether he does it supernaturally, frankly, I don't care, because it's he that does it. We used to have a sign at the clinic, didn't show it in public, but it said, God heals, the physician collects the fee. And I think it's important when we look at medications that we realize that they're all gifts from God and can be used to honor and glorify him.
That brings up one of the areas you talk about when you're talking about wellness, spiritual wellness, just has to do with growing in gratitude. And maybe just say a word about that. You know, that's something that ungratefulness comes pretty easily sometimes. So whether we're 40 or 80, I guess, say a word about gratitude.
It's the old song, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Just spend a little time looking at what he's really done for you, and allow that to lead your heart to just give him thanks and praise.
And some great insight today from Dr. John Dunlap. And we've got just a couple minutes left. Your previous book was talking about finishing well. All right, just say a word about that, maybe how that's different from what you've spelled out in this one.
Yeah, you know, most of us don't want our lives to be a fight to the finish in the intensive care unit, but our challenge is knowing when to pursue aggressive medical treatment geared at cure, and when it's time to say, no thanks, I think I'm just going to rest in Jesus and just make me comfortable until he takes me home. Because we want to make choices that will honor life, but we also want to make choices that honor the gospel that says that death, though an enemy, is a defeated enemy, and we don't need to fight it forever.
Are there some keystone principles that you'd share about that and how we kind of help work through some of those decisions, whether we're facing them or we might in the future?
Yeah, finishing well talks about evaluating the physical condition. What is the diagnosis? What's the prognosis? What treatments are available? What are the potential side effects? It talks about our emotional state. Do we still have a desire to keep fighting, or are we ready to just kind of give in? It talks about our spiritual state. Do we long to be in God's presence? Are we looking forward to enjoying him throughout eternity, coming to using an infinite amount of time to explore an infinite God as we come to know him better? And is our family ready to help us let go? Are they ready to let go and encourage us to stop the fight? So all those things go into making that decision. But I think it's so important for all of us to come to a point, if we can, otherwise our life, we're dying in the intensive care unit, hooked to 10 different machines, and all we've done is prolong the dying process without really a significant chance of improving life.
Good insights today from Dr. John Dunlap. We're grateful to have the opportunity to talk with him. As MD from Johns Hopkins University, he's now doing geriatrics in New Haven, Connecticut, affiliated with the Yale School of Medicine. He's adjunct professor at Trinity International University as well, and has authored a couple books. The one we're referencing today is called Wellness, for the glory of God, living well after 40 with joy and contentment in all areas of life. And I just mentioned that if you are looking for more joy and contentment in your life, you want to sign up for our giveaway for our David Jeremiah Study Bible. It's a way that you can get into God's Word, and we're giving away one of those each month. So you can sign up online at myfaithradio.com, and as long as you're there, maybe you want to join our prayer team as well, and you can share what God has done in your life and pray and encourage others as well. Get details on our website. It's myfaithradio.com, where you'll find the podcast of this show. If you missed part of it, you can listen again or pass it on to a friend and check out the resources there, the other shows in the archive about ways that you can grow in your faith. John, thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to talk with you.
My pleasure.
Talking to Dr. John Dunlap today here on Connecting Faith, helping you connect faith to life every day.